Titus chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to further the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth that leads to godliness, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time, and which now, at his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God, our Saviour. To Titus, my true son in our common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Saviour.
Father, we thank you for the wonderful truths of the gospel. We thank you for Jesus and for our salvation in him. Thank you that we've so much to sing about: the forgiveness of our sins, our relationship with you, our new purpose in living, and the hope of heaven. Lord, take us deeper into these truths tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I wonder what you do look for in a church. When Becca and I went away to university, we had to make that big choice. Which church would we go to? And there were lots of choices available. Some churches had beautiful buildings, some had fantastic music, and Becca and I both tried out different churches. We weren't married at this stage. And then we went to one church, and I remember it very well. A preacher called Vaughan Roberts was speaking on Revelation, and I thought, this is the church for me. Why did both Becca and I make that choice? We could have gone to the cathedral. The cathedral was actually our college chapel. There were special posh seats in the cathedral for members of our college. And in fact, we did sometimes go to the cathedral. But we didn't make it our church. We chose a church called St. Ebb's in Oxford, where Vaughan Roberts was then the curate. And we chose it very simply because they taught us the Bible. And some of you will one day go off to university and you will have to choose a church, or you'll move away from North Harts because of work or for family reasons, and you will have to find a church. What will you look for? This is a really important issue. Again and again, people make the wrong choice in looking for a church. Let me give you some help from Titus chapter 1. A true church, the best church, three things to say, is founded on God, is focused on heaven, and is busy preaching Jesus. A little bit of background: the Apostle Paul has been preaching the gospel on the island of Crete with his co-worker Titus. It seems likely that Paul led Titus to Christ. He is his true spiritual son, in verse 4. And now he leaves Titus on Crete to finish the work, to establish the church or churches on Crete by teaching them the truths of the gospel. So what we see here is a pattern for us. It shows us the sort of church Christ Church should be. It shows us the kind of church we should look for when we move away. Firstly then, the best church to look for is founded on God. Verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is a very humble way for Paul to describe himself: a servant of God, or even a slave of God. We attended a Christian holiday conference when I was a boy, and a very famous preacher came to speak. A minibus was sent from the showground where the conference was held to the airport to pick up the famous preacher, at which the preacher sent the minibus away and told the organisers he was a child of the king and didn't ride in minibuses. He expected something more in keeping with his status. I wonder what you think of that. I can think of preachers in America who have private jets. I sometimes considered going for 10 years just to boost my pension. Don't worry, I won't really do that. When Becca and I go to a conference in London called Evangelical Ministry Assembly, we've sometimes stayed in Bethnal Green, and we walk every day to the Barbican. It's very interesting walking past the churches in that part of London. There seems to be a great emphasis on blessing now, health, wealth, and prosperity, rather like the preacher who wouldn't ride in a minibus. How different the Apostle Paul, a servant of God. I wonder, are you willing to be a servant of God? Am I willing to be a servant? Think of what God is asking you to do. Teach in the Sunday club. Work with the youth. Work with tots. Work with body and soul. Help practically in the church. Help with administration. The Apostle Paul thought it was a noble thing to be a servant. I need to repent of all the times I resent the demands people make on me. Paul is a servant. But he's also an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, when you're choosing that church, if you move away, you need to choose a church which is apostolic. In other words, is based on the teaching of the apostles. 12 disciples of Jesus, minus Judas, plus Matthias, who replaced Judas, plus Paul himself, who was made an apostle later on the Damascus Road. Now, what does it mean to be apostolic? Catholicism teaches that to be apostolic means that you stand in apostolic succession. In other words, Jesus supposedly made Peter the first pope. Then Peter laid his hands on his successor. And each generation laid its hands on the next. So we could never be apostolic, because we don't come under the pope, who stands in apostolic succession from Peter. But is that what it means to be apostolic? For one thing, Peter was not the first pope. Secondly, many of the popes have been ungodly characters. But thirdly, surely to be apostolic means to teach what the apostles taught. We have the apostles' teaching summarized in verse 4, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. The gospel is all about grace, God loving us and blessing us, even though we don't deserve it one little bit. Jesus pays for God's blessing for us. And this results in peace. Peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Saviour. We were at war with God. Now Jesus has made peace. God is no longer angry with us. His wrath has been satisfied. This is what the apostles taught. To be apostolic means to teach what the apostles taught. This was the great argument of the Reformation. In the 16th century, Christian leaders like Martin Luther and John Calvin realized that the church wasn't teaching what the apostles taught. Yes, they maintained so-called apostolic succession, but that was a hollow shell. True Christianity is based on God, based on God's Son, Jesus, and based on the teaching Jesus taught and then passed on to the apostles. So when you look for a new church, ask yourself, is it founded on God, on Jesus, on the apostles, who were Jesus' spokesmen, who wrote the New Testament, of course? We access the apostles' teaching by reading what they've written for us in the New Testament. To put it simply, is the Bible being taught? When I walked into St. Ebb's Church in Oxford in October 1993, it was very clear the Bible was being taught. This was a godly church. God was the foundation. The apostles' teaching was central. And this meant, verse 1, the church would further the faith of God's elect. What we all need when we come to church on a Sunday is to have our faith strengthened. This is Paul's great task, to further the faith of God's elect. The elect are God's chosen people. And the apostles' great task is to build their faith. How? To further their faith and their knowledge of the truth which leads to godliness. We build our faith by knowing the truth, by knowing the Bible. Now, does that describe us? Our faith is growing. We're learning the truth. And this is leading to godliness. What is godliness? Godliness is a life which pleases Jesus. When you go away to university or move away with work, you will go to churches with fantastic music, with really impressive speakers. But the most important question of all is, are the people godly? In other words, do they live lives which please Jesus? That's what matters most at Christ Church. Are we living godly lives? Are we pleasing Jesus? Look for a church which is based on the apostles, based on God, where your faith will be built up through knowing the truth which leads to godliness. Secondly, a true church, the best church to look for, secondly, is focused on heaven. Verse 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. It's a very great privilege to visit the sick and the elderly. It's a very great privilege to take funerals. Sometimes, occasionally, people die badly. I can think of one man who had been involved in an argument, a serious argument, and he was given the opportunity to put it right before he died, and he didn't. And on one occasion when we were there, he really raged against death. He shook his fists. It was quite disturbing. It was rather like the words of Dylan Thomas, "Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light." It was like that. At the same time, the normal way of Christians, in my experience, is that they die well. There is a sense of peace. They know they're going home. They're going to heaven. Surely that's the way we should want to die. Verse 2, in the hope of eternal life. A godly life has this hope of eternal life. A good church will be very focused on heaven. A good church won't be promising all of God's blessings now. There is much blessing now. There is forgiveness. There's relationship with God, a purpose in living for Jesus, an awareness of his presence. But by far, most of the blessings of the Christian life are yet to come. For now, there's sorrow, there's suffering, there's sin. The apostolic gospel, founded on God himself, hopes for eternal life. And this is not a forlorn hope. This is a solid hope, a certainty based on the resurrection of Jesus. This can be depended on. A godly life, verse 2, in the hope of eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. Now, can you get your head round that? Before the beginning of time, God, who does not lie, promised eternal life. He promised it to the elect. The Father said to the Son, "Here is a people. I want you to go to earth and die to save them. And I will give them eternal life based on your death and resurrection for them." Here we're given fly on the wall status. We can be a fly on the wall in the boardroom of heaven before the creation of the world. Only the Trinity is present: Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Father is the leader. The Father sends the Son, promising him eternal life for all those whom he will save. And the Son willingly goes. He willingly gives up the glory and status of heaven to come to earth, to be born in poverty, to live a perfect life, and to die on the cross in our place, to pay for all our sin. All on the basis of a promise of the Father to the Son, that he would give eternal life to each one who trusts in Jesus. A true church, the best church, is founded on God, is focused on heaven, and thirdly, is busy preaching Jesus. It's interesting that two of the three candidates at our baptismal service said they wanted to be Christians because they wanted to go to heaven. Now, this eternal life was promised to the Son by the Father before the beginning of time. And now, verse 3, At his appointed season, he has brought to light through the preaching. Do you see that? Through the preaching entrusted to me by the command of God our Saviour. So, at just the right time, God turned the light on. All through the Old Testament, believers had a vague awareness of life after death, with occasional shafts of light and clarity. But when Jesus came and preached, and when Jesus called his apostles to preach his message, this preaching turned the light on. And people could see, this is the way to heaven. Paul is to preach because this message has been entrusted to him by the very command of God our Saviour. The very command of Jesus. He is God our Saviour. The apostles were busy preaching the gospel. And so we should be busy preaching the gospel. And when you leave here, you must look for a church which is founded on God, is focused on heaven, is busy preaching Jesus. Preaching seems a very weak and foolish thing to do. Basically, explaining the message to people. And yet, think about how you became a Christian. Someone explained the gospel to you. Someone proclaimed the gospel to you. It's not a take or leave it optional extra. This is the essential way to get to heaven, to be put right with God. And it has tremendous power and authority. People get saved. Lives are transformed. People are put right with God. So what will you look for in a church? Choose one which is founded on God, is focused on heaven, is busy preaching Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we pray for ourselves as a church that we would live up to this apostolic blueprint, that we would faithfully teach what the apostles taught, that we would be busy preaching the gospel. And we pray for your blessing on this, Lord. We pray that you will pour out your Spirit next week as we do Holiday Club. Please, Lord, save. And we do pray for our young people when they go away to university, that you'll give them wisdom, wisdom from your word, to choose a good church which will teach your word faithfully and preach your gospel. Please guard our young people, we pray. Please would university be a time of great spiritual growth for each one of them. And we pray that, Lord, for any who move away from Christchurch, that you would keep them within the apostolic faith. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.